Let's quickly kick into our message for this afternoon, and let's learn some things about the work of Jesus. That's what we began to speak about last time. I titled it, The Work of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? I want us to understand, every day you see things, and it's so important, of course, for us to help people, correct them, and let them understand how God planned for their lives to be. The one that's very popular these days, people are always looking for deliverance. I talk about it all the time. I want people to be established in the truth. They're always looking for how they will be delivered from problems that actually the Lord Jesus had already delivered them from. And that's what I want to do this series again, for people to understand that. What is the path of true deliverance? The fact is that Jesus said that if we're talking to those who have believed, he said what you will do is to abide in me or continue in my teachings, and then you will prove yourselves to be disciples indeed. And if you are disciples indeed, you will make discoveries of the truth, and those discoveries will set you free. That deliverance comes from what you have discovered. I talked about that last time. Deliverance does not come from the amount of prayers you prayed. Deliverance comes from what you have discovered. Discovery, of course, in this context, is the discovery of the truth of the Word of God. And we're looking at the things that we are supposed to discover from the Word of God. I'm talking about the work of Jesus, or the works of Jesus. Jesus came to come and do what for us? We're going to read a few scriptures. Last time I began to talk about the fact that this earth is a manifestation. How do I say it again now? It's a stage where spiritual things are demonstrated. Are you getting my point? That evil existed before Adam came into existence. But God, knowing that he's going to put a final, solution, bring forth a final solution, allowed Adam to fall, even though he knew Adam would fall. People often wonder, if you know he was going to fall, why did you still create him? You must understand that what God is trying to solve is beyond just these few thousands of years. It's an eternal problem that he's trying to put an end to. I said to you the other time that when Eve was tempted, Eve was not tempted by a snake. It's not possible, all right? That's just not what happened. The Bible didn't even try to imply that that's what happened. It's the way we just read it. Look at the snake. A snake won't come to you, be talking, and you'll be listening. Eve was not stupid. Why do you have the impression that Eve was a stupid woman? She was not. She was a normal person. What happened was that the Lord used to come. I believe this is my personal conviction. I've thought about it. The Lord used to come, we saw, into the garden, the cool of the evening, to come and relate with them. And that gives me an impression that the angels also used to come with him. You will see that God put guards at the gate of the garden, and these were cherubims. And you see that Adam saw it, and Eve saw it, and they knew that don't go near that area. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, they saw those things. So the Lord used to come, and they heard the footsteps, all right? Not the breeze. They heard the footsteps of the Lord when he was coming to the garden, and they went to hide. That means they used to see him physically. Please, you must understand that point. They used to see him physically. They used to know he was approaching, and that's why they could go and hide. If it was not a physical thing, they wouldn't go hiding. I'm not bringing an issue here. So in the same manner, other spiritual beings used to come, and I believe that the serpent that came appeared, like the Bible says, like an angel of light, and she could not distinguish one from the other, and he began to talk with her. And I said to us last time, that's the only thing Satan can do. He can tempt. He cannot force you to do anything. He cannot deliberately. He can't just make up his mind and ruin your life. Satan cannot just come and say, I'm going to spoil your business. I'm going to spoil your career. The only thing he can do is to tempt you, all right? That he comes with suggestions. Let's do it like this. Has God really said that thou shalt not eat this? And those talks continue till today. Is this what they say you shouldn't do as a Christian, all right? As a Christian, you shouldn't do this, And he said, yes, so. He said, don't worry. If you do it, you will make it faster. Let me say to you, Satan is a very good businessman. He's astute. Are you getting my point? Yes, he knows what he's doing. That is, if he offers you something, you stand to lose more than you are going to gain. Don't ever forget that. If Satan offers you something, what you are going to give to him is his business. No, think about it now. All right? If you're a businessman, what do you think? You understand? So I'm offering somebody something. What he's going to give back to you is more than what you're expending. That's why it's called profit. You have to make some profit. So when Satan comes to you and says, he starts giving, like we see in the story of the garden, start manipulating. What he's taking from you is more than what he's given to you. I was reading a book a few days, that was, I think, yesterday and this morning, and the man said something that I've always believed, very, very true. He said that any freedom, listen to this, any freedom that you get in life that is not in Christ Jesus is a manipulation of the devil to put you into another kind of bondage. That any freedom you get in this life that is not a manifestation of the presence of Christ in your life, that Jesus is not the one that set into that freedom, that what Satan is doing is just to manipulate you and put you into another level of bondage. And I've seen it again and again. You know, I told the story once of one man who was going to one of these churches where they used to be DBs and babalawos, but then they now decide to wear garments, all right, so as to be able to reach modern men. And they go there, and people think they are going to church. They are not going to church. They are going to a shrine that meets in a modern building. That's the fact. They use the name of Jesus to deceive people. The sons of Sceva tried it. This man, they told him, now, I need to make this clear to us so that, you know, I keep on saying this again and again, but I think it's because the problem is serious out there. The problem is serious. I said it last time, when you make yourself disciples indeed, are you getting my point? That is when you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. These days, people don't like to study to know the truth. They want quick results without following God persistently. Now, that particular story I'm telling you, the man was a rich man, I mean, at least from my own level that time, he was quite well to do. When very few Nigerians could think about buying cars in the heat that was around the early 90s, things were much more difficult financially, generally in the country than they are right now. The man was buying his cars brand new. He had a big house, a duplex in Surulere. He wasn't staying there. He said now he has found freedom. And what is the freedom that he found? He now sleeps in the church. Before that, people were pursuing him in his dream, maybe. Witches were chasing him, maybe, I don't know. Whatever problems he had, he came to that church, they prayed for him, he became free, he said. But the condition of his freedom is that he must come and be sleeping on the pew in church. I don't know what I heard I said. You know what they call a pew? Not this nice plastic chairs. I mean, yes. Imagine this kind of pulpit here. I say, I put it down. I say, that's where you're going to sleep. You now give you one white cloth to be covering yourself. Deception. What did I call it? Deception. The man had left one kind of bondage and has entered into another one. Of course, I don't have to tell you where all his money is going to. Do I need to tell you that? I mean, you should be able to work that one out. He has to submit his salary to the prophet. The prophet will tell him the one he can eat and the one he can't eat. So I was reading that book. That man said, listen, any freedom you achieve outside Christ Jesus is manipulation. That Satan is trying to manipulate you. Let's get back to it. So you see, Eve was manipulated, but the Bible says that she was deceived. That is, she did not know what she was doing. Now that was important because, you see, if you are deceived, God shows a different kind of mercy. All right? Mercy is quite abundant when you do something in ignorance. Paul said that I persecuted the church, but I received mercy because I did those things in ignorance. Are you getting my point? The Bible says that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. Now, what happened was Satan only used Eve to get into Adam. Now, listen, that's just the way it is. Satan used Eve to get to Adam. Satan knew that Eve was deceived, and that was not where he was going. The Bible says Adam was not deceived. And the consequence of that, let's read again, Romans chapter 5. Quickly, let's start from there. The book of Romans chapter 5. That was a consequence of that deception. All right, from verse 12. Now, this was a consequence of course, we're not reading the story of Genesis because we all know it very well. I just want to refer to it, all right, as I speak. Eve, you know the story. She ate the fruit, and then she gave it to her husband. And when Paul was going to comment on that later, he said that that the woman was deceived, but the man was not deceived. And then as a consequence of course, when they gave it to Adam, what that means simply is that Adam knew what he was doing. He did not believe the lie that Satan told, that if you eat this, you will become wise. It was Eve that believed that. Adam did not believe it. The sin that Adam committed was very, very grievous. It was you knew what to do, and you deliberately did the opposite. Now, people have said many reasons why he did that. Some people have said it was pure foolishness. Some people have taken it higher, that he saw it as the only way to have his wife redeemed. I don't know. That what his own was, that it was the principle of identification. This woman has fallen into sin. Let me join her. And then, together, we will try and come out. All right? And hopefully, we obtain the mercy of God. I don't know which one of them is correct. The important thing is that what he did was a sin that could not be atoned simply by, I'm sorry. It was not a sin that could simply be atoned for by, don't do it again. The sin was grievous. And the Bible says like this, Acts chapter 12. He said, therefore, that's Romans chapter 5, verse 12. He said, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, please notice that sin entered into the world because one man sinned. And then, now that was the introduction of sin into the world. Before that, it was not in the world. It was somewhere else. It came in, Satan came to instigate the arrival of sin. Now, when sin entered, what followed it closely is what the Bible calls death. And I want to talk about death again today. I talk about it once in a while. What followed sin is death. And that death began to spread to all men because men also began to sin. You will see something if you read further down. You will find out that disobedience. In verse 19, he said, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now, sin is disobedience. If God says do something one way and you do it another way, that is what sin is. There are two types of sin. I won't discuss that in details, like I said earlier. That Eve sinned, but not deliberately. What I mean is that she was not deliberately disobeying a commandment, being fully aware of the consequences. She was deceived, but it was still sin. Are you getting my point? But Adam was not deceived like that. His own was deliberate. And because it was the head, now you must understand this. When the head, if in the house everybody is misbehaving, the head of the home does not join in their misbehavior. He is a very powerful intercessor for the people. Are you getting my point? Yes, he's a very, very powerful intercessor. He can take charge in such a manner that the consequences of the sins of the people will be minimized. He can pray for the people. You understand my point? Like I say all the time about the nation. If you are in a country and there are homosexuals there, it's a bad thing, but it's not too much of a problem. If there are all kinds of sinners, it's a bad thing, but it's not too much of a problem. But when you know his country is about to be destroyed, is when they start making laws that say a wrong thing is right. Do you get my point? Like, you see, the problem America is having right now, which, like Lot, the Bible says that the righteous people there are being punished. That is, their consciences are disturbed day and night. Americans stood up one day, through the Supreme Court, said you can abort your baby if you want. Doesn't matter. That one stood. Now, I don't know, they have not delivered the judgment. They are trying to say that homosexuals can marry and it is right. Now listen, if everybody is doing it, it's a problem. But when the country, because the head of a country is a government, when the country, the law, now says that it is right, then judgment is about to fall. Are you getting what I'm going to explain there? It's very serious. Judgment is about to fall. Now, in Adam's case, he was the head of the creation. So his sin, now listen to this, his sin allowed Satan to come into the world. No, let me put it like this. His disobedience was sin. That was when the principle of sin entered into the earth. And because he was the head of the creation, he opened the door. He was a doorkeeper, essentially. So he opened the door and sin came in. Now, you must understand these spiritual things are real. Demons came in. This is what I believe. Before that, they could not come in. Are you getting my point? They couldn't. The door was shut against them. So you must understand the way spiritual things work. You say, but Satan was there. Satan was there, let me use the expression, physically, but he didn't have power in that place. He couldn't bring anybody in with him. He could only come, he was allowed to do that. We know he used to go into even the presence of God. And the other angels, did not. Oftentimes they don't even recognize that he's there. And that's a matter of fact. How do I know? Go and read the book of Job. He said, the sons of God came to present themselves, and Satan also came amongst them. That is, I don't know the name of angels. Let's just assume there's one angel called John Bull. You understand my point? So John Bull is in front. You understand my point? And then, another one is called Namdi. Namdi is behind. In between the two of them, Satan is standing. And neither John Bull nor Namdi realized that is Satan. And they were just passing and just mingling with the other people. And that's how he goes around to and fro. The Lord asked him, where are you coming from? I'm going to and fro. And God allows that. So he went in there because, you see, God, you know, if you read my article, the love of God. Let me emphasize this. Many people, they don't love God. They use God. You understand? But God wants to be loved. God doesn't want people who obey him who can't disobey him. You must understand what I'm going to explain. He wants you to be able to disobey but refuse to disobey. That's what is called love. Yes. That is, you have the right to disobey, but you choose deliberately that I will not disobey. I am going to obey. Then you are indeed a lover of God. You love righteousness. You love it. Nobody can be said to love righteousness who has no opportunity for wickedness. That's why I told you before. Some people said that they don't want to go to hell. They now go and move into a cave. They go to hell faster. Yes, because there's no... Listen, you must understand. You're not even making any choice to please God. Nobody comes to try and bribe you. So we have never rejected a bribe. It is when they... Do you understand my point? You run away. Instead of you to develop your spirit so that in the face of adversity... I mean, Jesus was tempted. Satan came and said, look at everything I'm going to give you. It is in the furnace of affliction, such times of trials, that God separates the men from the boys. Do you understand my point? So that's why God allows Satan into the garden. Let's see whether these people will really, really make the choice to serve me. I'm making an issue here. When Adam did what he did, which we all know, Satan now had a road into the place. Now, you see what Jesus said once when he was talking about a demon that is cast out. He said when he comes back, he comes in with seven spirits more wicked than himself. This is what I believe. Satan went out. I went and got other spirits. None of them was more wicked than him, but at least they were friendly, you know, to him. They all came and started harassing mankind. Why do I say that? Because, you see, this man, Charles Finney. Yes. Charles Finney is of a school of thought which I agree with. All right? He says that he doesn't believe that Adam's sin makes you a sinner. He doesn't believe it. And after reading him and reading everybody's own, I agree with him. He says that what Adam's sin did, he didn't use this way. Just now I'm explaining it, I'm connecting what he said. He said that Adam's sin allowed his descendants to fall, to be under the influence of great temptation. And you see the one thing that Paul said there. He said, through one man's disobedience, sin, verse 12, just through as one man's sin, he said, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, that's what I'm trying to say, and death spread to all men. Why? Read it loud. I can't hear you. Because what? Yes. It was because they sinned. Are you getting my point? That is, they had to do the act of sinning themselves, both in their hearts and physically, for the death to spread. I'll explain that again in a moment. Because when people talk about ancestral curses, I've been telling you again and again, watch out for ancestral behaviors. Are you getting my point? If they say in our family, nobody ever makes money, go and check in your family. They are all bad accountants. Go and check your family. They are all very lazy. They all believe that government, are you getting my point? He will supply all their needs. So when Satan wants to keep that family in bondage, he keeps on telling them lies. He sees them in beer palace with jobless people like themselves, blaming the government. What is wrong with Good Luck Jonathan? What is wrong with Payim? Ayim, Pius, Ayim. No, not Payim. Why did I call him Payim? Saw him on TV yesterday. That's how maybe I remember him now. You know, what is wrong with the governors? What is wrong? And you see them morning, afternoon, and night. No one says, where is God my maker? Then they go to the office. Why are you stealing? The politicians are stealing more than me. So that makes it justified for me to be a thief. What they don't realize, you must understand this. That is how Satan keeps them in bondage. Don't ever forget that. That is how Satan keeps them in bondage. Tell our family, no woman ever stays more than 15 years in the husband's house. Go and check how all the women there behave. Go and check it. I've told you, generational curses require generational misbehavior. You understand my point? They require generational bad habits. You find generational unforgiveness. They say in our family, we know they forgive, we know they forget. If my grandfather was like that, there was one man that this he'd be bragging on iniquity. And there's a problem with God's judgment. It doesn't come only upon those who do things. It also comes upon those who take pleasure in them that do it. That is, if you don't do it, but you say, yes, it's good to be done, you're a sinner. That is why I said, if God is sharing our judgment, Barack Obama is in front. Before any homosexual in America, he will collect his own. Because not only those who do them experience God's judgment, but those who take pleasure in them that do those things. So what am I going to explain here? Charles Finney said that Adam's sin, what he did was that he opened the door So every demon of temptation walked into the earth because of Adam's sin. They had thought, you know, think about it. Where did Cain learn to kill from? I don't know whether I get my point. Listen, this is what I think. Let me tell you something quickly. Demons are real. What did I say? They are not figments of preachers' imaginations. They are real. They are. You know, there's a book I recommend all the time. The Final Quest by Rejoinder. I have found very few books that describe spiritual things like that book. Very few. How did Cain know how to kill? I will tell you. There was one spirit hanging around all this while. Normally, those things, they bear the name of their actions. The name of that spirit is murder. Murder doesn't just jump out and start misbehaving. The spirit of that spirit of murder, all right, has a very, very good friend and forerunner. It's called jealousy. It's called, there's another one, envy. Maybe the same person. There's one called hatred. That normally stands, you know, jealousy goes first, then hatred follows, then murder is after. And they talk to people. Believe me. They talk to people. Let me explain this to you. They talk to people. Many of the thoughts in your head, they are not your own. Let me say to you, I'm not joking about it. That is why you need the word of God to help you fine-tune your heart, your reasoning pattern. There's one serious one in Nigeria of today. All right? That demon is called... which word do I use for it now? Let me put it like this. Tribal distrust. It's a demon. I'm not joking about it. In Nigeria today, it's there. And you hear people talk all the time. I told you my experience. All right? Naturally speaking, I'm from Ondo State. Naturally speaking. But I'm a Christian. That's what's most important to me. You understand? And here I am in Enugu. You come to my department. I am the only person from Western Nigeria. And we are over 100 and something people working there. But you see something. Jesus said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There's something about the word of God, what it does to you. I told there was an issue once in my office. Any of you know what I'm talking about? I'm one of the most senior, in fact, I'm currently the head of the department. I'm one of the most senior people in that place. And we, the consultants, head the place, all right? We're the big lecturers, we head the place. There was a time headship was jumping between two of my colleagues. One is from, I think, Abia. And the other one is from Anambra. Both of them are from Anambra State. So maybe everyone will say, hey, it's going to be the occupational stunt next time. Now lie, it go jump again. And then, funny enough, one of the people involved came and said, listen, I told the dean, this is tribalism. I said, listen, there are words you don't use when it comes to me. Because it's a spirit. And I tell the spirit, don't cross. There are areas you don't cross. I told the spirit loudly, there are areas you don't cross. That is why, I make a joke of it all the time. I say, I'm from Ondo State, my wife's from Delta, my children are from Enugu. Yes. No, ask those who know me. All I want from my children is just learn the Nigerian language. Don't speak only English because your parents speak, you know, because we don't speak the same Nigerian language. So we speak only in English language. So they are learning only that. I said, no. For me, it's just learn a Nigerian language. And if you can learn more than three or four, all the better. Bisio Latilo. I don't know how many of you know him. Bilios Latilo is making money from speaking fluently three Nigerian languages and more without any accent. If he speaks Igbo, you think he's an Igbo man. If he speaks Yoruba, forget. There's no accent. He speaks Hausa flawless. For that, he earns millions of naira regularly. Please, I'm going to explain something. Very few thoughts, all right, in people's heads. Please, I can't preach everything now. You know, I'll be only one person. Don't be so. Please, allow Rejoinder to preach some other things to you. Go and buy that book. I don't sell it, so I'm not trying to make money. But go and look for it. It's titled The Final Quest. You will see how spirits operate. They virtually cast a spell over people. Many of the thoughts in people's minds, they are not their own. You see a husband, he's at home. There's one man I know, the spirit of jealousy, and it's in the scripture, there's a spirit called the spirit of jealousy. Always checking the wife's phone. Who is calling you? Who is not calling you? Who was that? I saw you waving at a man on the road the other day. And the woman says, half of the people on the road
Amen. It's only the other half that are women. Is that not so? So if I wait at anybody, 50% the chance that the person is male. The man, no, he's not satisfied. He looked like the one you waved at 3 weeks ago. Listen, let me tell you the truth. It is a spirit. Oh God, I pray you get my point. It is a spirit. He's talking to the man. He wants to ruin his life. He comes to him. She hasn't come back. And he thinks he's the one thinking them. He does not realize. She has not come back. Every responsible woman is at home. All right? By 7:15. And that's it. The spirit, oh God, the spiritual things are like that. The spirit covers his face. All he can see are the women around him that don't go anywhere. You know, some women are just genetically, environmentally lazy. They don't shift. It is not because they are innocent. It's just that they know they shift. It's just pointing. See, Mrs. Ajaliko, go down the road. By 6 o'clock, she's at home. Go and check. From 6 a.m., she was there. But he does not notice. Because his spirit is harassing his soul. Disturbing him. That spirit of jealousy. Look. If he enters into a woman too. That is the thing. No? Somebody will just say, ah, good morning, sir. Leave my husband for me. I'm like. All I say is good morning, sir. Your husband is my husband's colleague in the office. The other day, one guy came to me. He wanted to call one of his colleagues. See, this is serious. That his colleague's wife just called him and said that her husband is accusing her. Now, get my point. Assuming you are, let's assume now, you are a lawyer. You work in a law firm. You have somebody, another lawyer down the road. You know, agree that your guy is friends. Maybe you even went to law school together, stuff like that. And then, assuming one is called Mr. TB. That one is Mr. Joshua. You understand my point? So, are they laughing? Mrs. TB now calls Mr. Joshua and says, "See, that my husband is accusing me of sleeping with you." So the fellow came to tell me, real story, not a joke, that what is wrong with this guy? I'm really going to. I was looking for his phone. I'm going to call this man. Anyway, I said, relax first. You have to know exactly what happened. I said, maybe he was just angry, just looking for, you know, there are times you want to do something, just pain somebody, you know, that kind of thing. I said, maybe that's what he's doing, that he should relax. Anyway, he came back later and told me, he said, listen, no, I'm not the only one. No. They have been accusing everybody. I said, you see? So, are you still going to call? He said, no need. This is a summary of it. There is a spirit of jealousy that has tabernacled inside him. I know a man that will beat his wife with iron rod. That's not a joke. You know what you call iron rod? Why? Because the spirit of jealousy lives with him. What am I describing? That was what Adam did. When he obeyed Satan, sin entered, and that allowed all the spirits to enter into the world. And one major, listen, I told you, as Christians, the fight of faith is a serious fight. I told you then, when that issue I was telling you about, people say, tribalists, I said, listen, there are words I told God from the beginning. Please, it must not stay with me. And let me tell you the truth. I placed a curse upon that thing. I said, anybody who will, because of tribe, deny me my due right, God should injure him. So if you have not been injured, you are not discriminated against me. I'm serious. I just leave it like that. No matter the explanation. And you know, that my story I've told again and again. You know the truth? It was not true. Are you getting my point? Now, this was an appointment I used to use prayer to reject. And when God answers my prayer, somebody says it's tribalism. It was not tribalism. In all honesty, I have been most loved since I came to Enugu. Why? Because there is a word. When I was in Lagos, when people would say these things, I used to give them one word. And simple. I said, Joseph. Go and read your scriptures. Egyptians hated people like Joseph. When Joseph's brothers came to eat with him, they sat separately. Now, you must get the point. That was how much they despised shepherds. After Joseph became their ruler, when his brothers wanted to eat, go and read your scriptures, they separated the tables because Egyptians wouldn't eat with shepherds. They wouldn't eat with those Hebrews. That's what they called them. But what happened to Joseph? You know the story. He was a favorite fellow in the house of Potiphar. They loved him so much, the handshake crossed the elbow at a point. You know the story of Mrs. Potiphar. And don't think Mrs. Potiphar was the only person that loved Joseph. All these slave girls, they just couldn't imprison him. everybody in the house, Potiphar himself so loved Joseph that the Bible says the only thing he used to care about was the food that he ate. So I gave that word ahead. People say, Nigeria is a dangerous country. Where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? When my younger brother that you wanted to marry, of course, you know the way it is. You go home, people go, they talk here, talk here, talk there. When the talk got to my ear, I told my mother, I let you know the summary of it. Because his wife is from Imo State. I said, we're either Christians or we are not. Let everybody know it. You have to be careful. You're like, you know, I see Christians, you want to marry near your village. Your problem don't begin. You never even marry. That is, you're already believing God for troubles. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, into my house. I have a wardrobe for you. In the name of Jesus, come. You are begging for troubles. You see, you must understand that you're a Christian. What did I say? Say it, I am a Christian. Your thoughts, let's read this one. It's not my main message, but we just have to read it. That's Philippians chapter 4. As a Christian, this is your life. That's what I want to describe. From verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. Now, that true is the word of God. Not every newspaper report. Whatever is right, using God's standard of righteousness. Whatever is pure. Whatever is lovely. Whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It's very important as a Christian. You know, the Rotary Club, they have this, their four-way test. This is a Christian's, how many way test? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is a Christian 8-way test. The thing must be true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise. Say, dwell on those things. Very important. You know why? If you leave this area, demons will talk to you. Oh God. Listen. As a married man, as a woman, the demon you must fight most is that one the Bible calls the accuser of the brethren. This one is called the accuser of the spouse. What did I call it? Everybody hear it and hear it well. You know, that was what killed Micah. Accuser of the spouse was what injured Micah. You can see anything you want to see in anything. I hope you understand that.
Yes.
You know, we went to preach the other day. Me and Yinka went to go and preach somewhere. If you saw me that day, I was wearing a very nice shirt. Very nice shirt. Talking to one very nice pair of trousers. What you won't realize, I forgot my jacket. We're already halfway. I just look and say, Olenka, where's my jacket? I was supposed to wear a suit, though I was not planning to wear a tie. I wore a colorful shirt, so I said, no problem. I'll just put a black jacket on it, and, you know, look nice. Halfway through, I look behind. Yinka was driving. I just said, Olenka, where's my jacket? And I left home. I picked him up from his own home. I said, I left this in the upstairs at home. He said, should we turn back? I said, turn back. Don't worry. Why do you need to turn back? I said, whatever I wear will be nice. Now I'm the preacher. If I come with shirt and I say, the guy is so humble. No. If it's some other preachers now, they will not die. They won't know I forgot my jacket. I said, you can't be going. Turn back for what? When I reach there now, it is going to be, You see, maybe you come in ordinary sandals. I said, you see, some people know how to match. You know, he made the sandal look like, oh my God. One man, if you read this book, God Smuggler, good Christian man, they said, the man used to dress shabbily. So this man, Brother Andrew, when they go out together, he said, ah, please try and dress nicely. And I said, he'll say, ah, what? Nobody knows me here now. Nobody knows me. What does it matter? Nobody knows me. So after a while, he kept quiet. Then one day they went to the place where, near their home, where everybody knew him. He said, oh God, please dress nice. Ah, what is the issue? Everybody knows me around here. Everybody knows me. Now, I'm bringing an issue. That's the reason I talked about that. David was dancing with all his might. There are different ways to interpret it. Some people are saying, ah, this is our king, my God. See how he loves God. Ah! He loved God so day, you don't know the time when trousers come out as he was dancing. Oh God, may I love you like this. Which was what the rest of Israel thought. And which was actually the truth. He danced so much. By the time he finished, the Bible said he blessed the people. Then he now returned to bless his household. Oh. As a husband, as a wife, be careful. No, as somebody that's under authority of any sort, be careful you don't block when somebody's returning to bless you. Your husband is a preacher, like I am. Long ago, I explained that to my wife. Be careful. If I insult you on the stage, once I come down, don't refer to it. It's against the law of God. Then my husband, when you're preaching, don't be saying that kind of thing about me. Zip your mouth. No, I'm serious. This job is not a joke. I told you one day, in one church, they had disciplinary issues. Then I said, part of our discipline is that we flog whoever offends. The pastor was the one that offended. They flogged him. You know, the two boys who were stupid enough to do the job died on the spot. No, they didn't fall sick. They finished there. Two of them coughed, collapsed, bam, they buried them. And that's a Safira type. Not in America, Nigeria here. Listen, you can look at things from any way you want to see it. David, the Bible says, returned to bless his household. And Michal came. You know, she was used to being in the royal household. Her father was a former king, you know that. And what is this boy going to show me? He was still a small boy when I married him. He said, now, so my God, they take dance, eh? When small girls did. It's called accusation. I said all of this because she could have looked at it the way everybody else saw it. She could have come and said, my husband, you surprised me today. I'm not saying that so you love God. Did you know your clothes fell off? Hey, I was embarrassed, but I had to understand that this is love for God. But she despised her husband, the Bible says. And the Bible now qualified it. Now, Michal was barren all the days of her life. The only woman in the Bible that got that title. I'm talking about what? Accusation. And this is how he spends money. This is how he spends money. Very soon now, we will be broke. I don't know what is wrong with this woman. I don't know. Which kind of stupid person did I marry? And oh God, don't forget it. What Adam did was to open the door. You see, faith is what? A fight. What did I call it? What did I call it? You have to fight. You have to fight. God blessed me with different kinds of children so that I will understand that faith is a fight. That is, he will bless you with a child that if you teach him 1 + 1 for 1 year, he won't learn it. There was a woman I knew once. She was telling me one day she almost beat her husband, that is, bite. Because she had taught her son and taught at the end of the day, I said, leave him, he doesn't know anything. That was a father's judgment. And listen, this is a fact. The boy deserved that comment, naturally speaking. Yeah, he deserved it. And the woman had been learning some faith. Now the woman attacked the husband. Because it wasn't just that you are speaking, I'm not happy what you said. She suddenly understood what was going on. I'm not saying the way she responded is all right, but I'm trying to explain that it was totally out of order, if you're a believer, to make that kind of comment that man made. You have to fight not to say it. It's a fight. They will tell you, you know, Americans, oh God, not in America, just so-called civilized, when you don't know God, you are in trouble. There are days I just wake up and I say, God, thank you for this knowledge of you that we have. They will not label your child for you. He has attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder. They give him a label. Most of those attention deficit hyperkinetic disorders are curable with a cane. If you obey the word of God, you will see that that attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder is a spirit that responds to flogging. Bound in his heart, tell him, sit down there. You hear what I said? Sit down there. If you do not sit down there, I give you 3 strokes of the cane. After a few days, the boy learns obedience from the things that he suffers. But he now come and tell you, you can't flog a child. It is wrong. It is wrong. It is wrong. Then they go to come again and diagnose for you that your son has attention deficit hyperkinetic disorder. Then one day, he takes a gun and shoots his parents and they're wondering why. I'm talking about fight, faith being a fight. So when the boy starts doing attention deficit, you can say, come here. Come here, sit down. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are attentive. Tell the boy, say amen. If you don't want to say amen, you do the will of God. You have a cane. You know, don't forget all that lies they tell you that you don't flog a child. You flog a child. The problem is if you don't start early enough. When people don't start early enough, now they get a problem. You want to start flogging a child by the time it's already 5. You listen to me. You started too late. What did I say? The wrongest time to flog a child is when he has grown. What flogging does for a child is to teach him who's the boss and whose words cannot be disobeyed. Anyway, let me sit on my message. I said faith is a fight. So when problems arise in the house, there are different ways to interpret it. The boy is not attentive. You can say, no, we need to pay more attention. We have to, this boy, you have to treat him with this kind of hand and this one with this kind of hand. You know, that kind of thing. But that he's not going to go far in life, it doesn't cross your mind. Satan will tell you that, you know, this was what happened to the son of Mr. Ajanlekoko. By the time he was 15, he was beginning to see double. You know, after the time he was 18, he was using Indian hemp. Then they started going for one form of deliverance after the other. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are listening to Satan talk to them. They are going to answer. I said, this is not Ajanlekoko's house. This is my house. In this house, Jesus is Lord. In this house, I shall have what I say. In this house, the power to name all the created beasts on the field, all the creatures that were with Adam, was in the mouth of Adam. And these are the created people in my house also. Including the wife that God gave to Adam. Adam had to give her a name. And whatever the name of the living being he gave, that was its name. That's what the Bible says. You tell him his own name, which you gave, and you tell him what his destiny will be like. You will be a good boy. You will be a good child. No evil shall befall you, neither will you do evil. I teach my kids, nobody is bullying you. Let the person be twice your size, he's not allowed to bully you. Anybody wants to harass you in school, go and report. If he pushes you, push him back and go and report. And I add to it, and you are not allowed to bully anybody. You will be kind. One thing I preached once, which my wife did not forget, I said, as they are growing older, if my children are going to be body house one day, if you are packaging food, make it 2 portions. You teach them kindness. You talk to them. Listen, this is your destiny because this is my house. And in this house, I shall have what I say. Why am I saying all of this? And Satan comes because, you see, he doesn't have the kind of power people think he has. He does not have it. He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it. People think, I just come and just say, I'm going to destroy your destiny. He can't. He can't. He does not have the ability to do it. What he has the ability to do is to persuade you to agree with him. What am I teaching? Once Adam obeyed Satan, he released his horde of demons onto the earth. You know, we started by saying that, how did Cain know how to kill? You know, that's where I began from. Nobody had ever been killed in his presence. And no human being. No. He didn't understand it. But there are these things they call demons, evil spirits. The first one that came is, just like you talked to the mother. Who's the elder of the two of you? Cain said, not me. Okay? And your sacrifice was not accepted. Your younger brother's sacrifice was accepted. It's not, is it good? Listen, my friend, it is not good. Because is it good would have had no answer with him because he did not know. So the evil spirit said, it is not good. Have you noticed that 6 months ago, when your mother was trying to do this one, you know, you came 2 minutes late. He had already eaten the first plate. Listen, it is not good. Yes. So what are you going to do? By that time, the spirit of hatred possesses him. Hatred just like this. That's mother comes. Guys, shift. What we will do is we will kill him. This cannot continue. So what did you say? Just don't worry about it. I'll show you what to do. The guy raises his hand, hits his brother. Boom. He's in. Boom. He had never seen it done. How did he know to do it? Once I watched a program on one of these documentaries, I can't remember which of the channels now. A young boy, young man, not a child, maybe in his 20s. So that was an FBI agent. One day, two people were murdered. They found the body of a man, a young man, and a young woman who had gone camping. They were all went into the woods. They found their bodies in their cars. They were dead. So they had investigated. They didn't find what happened. But anyway, one guy finally took over the investigation. After he finished analyzing it, he called that retired FBI agent and said, sir, I think your son did this thing. And the man was surprised. My son, let's make a long story short. The man called his son. Because the investigation happened, the thing happened some time before, and the investigation didn't go anywhere. They couldn't make a headway. So this new fellow who took over, after he analyzed everything, he said, I think this is the person who did it. The guy's father was an FBI agent, he's now retired, so he went and met the man. You know this case? The man said, yes, I think this your son did it. This is the point I'm getting to. That man now called his son and said, look, somebody was in my house. Remember this particular case? The boy said, yes. Said, they have evidence to prove that you did it. Son, did you? He had the boy denied. He said, look, talk to me. What happened? He said to his father, I don't know why I did it. This is the point I'm getting to. He said, it was not me. That I was there. If it was a gun, yes, I pulled out my gun, shot the two of them. But it was not me. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That the fellow, it was just the father that is, something seemed to have possessed me as I did it. And listen to me, I have enough understanding to know the boy wasn't lying. He was not telling lies. There are demons that they call the spirits of murder. They possessed him. He had finished killing them before he realized what happened. That was why he broke down when his father was questioning him on the phone. Satan, I say it all the time, pushes people. The Bible tells us that Satan entered into Judas for him to betray Jesus Christ. Are you saying, therefore, that people are not culpable? They are. Because the door, the control of that door is with them. If you don't open room for the devil, he can't enter to start pushing you around. This is how he starts when he wants to enter. He starts small, small. Remember with Cain? The spirit of jealousy, envy. Who is older? You know they came with Jesus. The spirit came to Jesus Christ, to John the Baptist. He said, hey, John, now wow, ministry these days. Men are no longer loyal. He said, what happened? You know that your cousin, you know, I warned you about close relatives. That your cousin that you baptized here, look at his church down the road. He's not gathering more people than us. It was not just the volume. It was the people. Remember this wood designer that used to, yes, a strong supporter of the ministry. Yesterday I saw him. He has joined your brother's church. That was it, That normal people are saying, Listen, you know this doctor, the one that done, yes. Remember that first time I wanted to raise money for that building project? It was one that gave us the first 5 million. Yes. When last did you see offering from him? It's true. Yes, now. He has gone to your cousin's church. Then people get to church and start preaching all kinds of messages. They are angry. Envy, anger, you understand, jealousy. Albie Thame said, a Christian can kill. He said, you'll be amazed at what Christians can do. Let me add my own words. Let them just let the right spirit, you know what I mean by right, the proper spirit enter. My friend told me about a pastor. He traveled, on the pulpit. You know, imagine all of you came for service like teaching like this. And then I'm telling Israel, you're a wicked soul. Get out of here. I said, you preach while I was gone. You don't take over the church. Everybody was present. One was a woman. He said, you're a Jezebel. Inside church. One of my friends, pastor in this town. He said, one night, he was the one that did the job. Imagine that all the CC are written KWM. You understand? Kingdom World Ministries. I can't travel. I can't come back. And I want to collect the ministry back. Israel said, when you were gone, we're holding this place. You don't change your own to World Affair Ministries. WAM. So now you go call police. My friend told me that night, he came here at night, locked the door, began to repaint the whole chair. From KWM to WAM. He said at 4 a.m. he come up for church that day. By the time police came next day, they couldn't find any trace. No trace of the former ministry's name. He said, Pastor Wanki, Namidwa. He was one of those zealous boys following the big boss. But when they told John, he didn't say that. John said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. That's the summary. If they want to go to that church, let them go. Bishop Odipo said something those days. He said, listen, if this church is not blessing you, that's why we have many doors. File out here, file out there. He said, please, I'm sorry. I will not be angry. I mean it. Please, if I'm no longer a blessing to you, just go. He said, one day his wife asked him, he was studying at night. He says, only go home and sleep now. Why are you still studying at this particular time? He said, I'm studying because of you. You must say because of me. He said, yes. He said, you know that pastor down the road. You know his wife comes to our church. He said, before you start going to another person's church, I have to make sure I am fully resourceful. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. This is the point I'm making. That spirit of jealousy, it also afflicts men today. It does. And it opens the door for greater things. You know what I mean? Like greater things. Worse things begin to happen. Before you see what's happening, preachers are exchanging blow. They are blowing themselves seriously. One man is in prison. Who arrested him? His brother, the preacher. Over what? the tithe is no longer complete. They are now coming to your church with my tithe. You'll be amazed. How does it happen? The spirit comes. It's a spirit of envy. The spirit of jealousy. As you allow that one in, he brings his friends with him. The spirit of anger. You understand? The spirit of violence. The spirit of murder. That's what happens. So when Adam sinned, what he did was to open the door and all those people came in. What's my message? It's about sin. It said death reigned because of sin. You know, yesterday was a very bloody day on the road in Nigeria. If you watch the news, it was a disaster. Tanker exploded somewhere between Benin and Ore. Luxury bus. Swipe everybody inside. People in their shops inside. People in the tanker. Even, you know, the tanker first fell, fuel the poor. You know, human beings, oh God. Instead of them to run, they came, they started scooping. So when the thing caught fire, it scooped them, joint. My friend sent me a message that he was on his way from Uyut back to Benin. His brother went to, you know, they wanted to get married. So they went for the initial ceremonies. He said, well, I don't need to go slow. So I just assisted in a normal go slow. 1.5 hours, you go clear now. If I go to Benin, anyway, let's make a long story short. He was there for 3 hours. I said, what happened? He said one of these beer companies, their truck pummeled one bus. And he said human parts were littered all over the place. They saw them trying to dig out people's bodies from inside the wreck. He said the bus splintered as if it was made of wood. This morning I picked my news to read. Is it 18 or something people died between Onitsha again and Owerri? That same yesterday. When I woke up today, I began to pray. That's what they call carnage. Are you getting my point? Why did I tell all of these stories? That is what is called death. Death is not just that somebody died. It is that there is destruction everywhere. And this is the interesting part. Some of you are shouting, many of us, Boko Haram, Boko Haram. I said, road accidents are killing more people than Boko Haram, that they can even imagine. Every day. That one that happened yesterday, and this is just one stretch of road, that's just between Owerri and Lagos. We didn't count the ones in the other part of eastern Nigeria, western Nigeria, you understand my point, and the rest of the country. We didn't count any one of them. People say, I know go fly again. Yeah, nobody road. Now you won't pass. I say, I don't go anywhere again. They now hear a hurricane, something. You all come out the house, bam, kill everybody inside. Not before, is it Tunisia or Tanzania? One of these African countries a few days ago, Tunisia, yes. A high-rise apartment building under construction just came down. Pwah! The workmen, you know the way they report in the media, 4 people are dead and 17 are missing. Missing go where? Who thief them? They are making look like they are not dead yet. Oh boy, after 2 days, now say, okay, they are presumed dead. They are still missing. After 1 week, they have been declared dead. I said this is what the Bible calls indignation. This is what the Bible calls wrath. That is, there are go and see it. In the land, God will tell you that, listen, when I want to punish people, I will send famine. No, he said that I will send sword. Then some will escape, they will escape the death by sword. Then to them, I will now send a pestilence. Then some will escape the death by pestilence. That's diseases, outbreaks. Then I will now send famine. The same destruction, different kinds of ways by which it is coming. What I wanted to explain. All of these things begin to happen because sin came in and death comes in because of sin. When I'm talking about death, you know, sometimes we look at, this is the most interesting part. You know, Solomon says that, he said that there's somebody that God gave plenty of food and did not give him the ability to enjoy it. Let's look at our country, Nigeria, we have prayed for and we are believing God for greater things for, and the whole of Africa. We are talking about riches. There's no continent as rich as this one. None. All this noise they are making about nuclear bomb. Where did they get their uranium from? East Africa, Central Africa, East Africa. You make noise about gold, diamond. Most of them are mined South Africa. Nigeria has like two of the world's top oil producers. Sorry, Africa. Nigeria is here. Angola. Angola has as much oil as Nigeria has. Ghana just discovered their own. And don't forget the original name of Ghana, Gold Coast. If you farm the land, the arable land in Nigeria properly, they can feed half of the world. That's what the Bible calls wealth. It gave them resources. But ability to enjoy it, another story. The point I'm making is this. You're talking about the power of death. People can be in the midst of plenty like that, and they don't have the ability to enjoy it. It's still part of what the Bible calls the power of death. Yes, that's it. One of the ways by which death operates is that it takes people's brains away. That is, they can't reason. They will see one thing, they can't tie it up to the other. What I want to emphasize, listen, you know, when you see what's going on in the developed world, the so-called developed world, that has become spiritually underdeveloped, they make me laugh. They don't realize that sin is a major, that is, when I look at Barack Obama talking with his big ears, I laugh. On one hand, you're talking about economic recovery. On the other hand, you are killing the moral state of the nation. You don't realize that the moral state of the nation is a foundation for economic prosperity. It's foolishness. Total foolishness. They can't seem to tie it together. And people have told them, legalize gay marriage, then you are dead. In fact, that's a major step towards total decadence. Because the premise upon which you legalize gay marriage is the same premise on which a brother will marry the sister. Something that's not currently acceptable anywhere in the world. Incest. Then one day, grandmother is going to marry the grandson. No, it's not a joke. They're already trying these things. Yes, society is saying no. But once you say a man can marry a man, that's it. I come one day and say, it's my dog. I'll marry my dog. Equal rights for anybody. I marry whoever I like. I come one day with my tortoise. With this shell I deal with. Then you now understand where God, your verse one day. I say, boys, Sodom and Gomorrah, wipe them out. Wipe them out. What kind of nonsense is this? You know, God will come to work one, you know, in quote, God will come to work one day to sign marriage certificate. Say, who is this? It's Adam. Is this Eve or Steve? Say, Steve, sir. Ah, I'm supposed to sign that. Then as always, yeah. And one day he comes. Say, who's this? His name is Jumbo. Who's this? Bingo is a dog, sir. I should marry Jumbo and Bingo. And God just calls some people. He say, come. Where are they? Say, Jandar say, go and wipe all of them. I say, Adam will now say, could you destroy those who are not sinning? He say, okay, you know anybody there that's not sinning? I suspect my cousin, my nephew Lot, is in order. Say, count down, count his wife, count the children. Say, they don't reach 10. Say, they don't reach 10. Say, Lord, you can finish everybody else. They reach there. They try to count 10. But where? Even Lord's wife, they count. You get the principle. That's why God destroys people. That's why he destroys people. Because he comes to sign marriage certificate, he sees all kinds of things. Sin entered. That's the point I'm making. And death by sin. Economic decadence, that's it. Diseases of all types. The world thought they are taking care of smallpox. Smallpox said, I'm coming, I have a cousin, very distant, wicked soul, it's called HIV. We'll see you guys in about 25 years. One disease is exchanging human beings for the other. And this is the funny part, they still won't tell themselves the truth. If you just spend a quarter, who said a quarter? 5% of the money that you are spending researching into HIV/AIDS today, if you have spent 5% of it telling young boys and young girls you don't have to do this thing, AIDS will have died a natural death. The NASA lying to you. That doesn't work. Abstinence does not work. What kind of nonsense? How can, what is his name? Elton John, married to John Elton, tell me that abstinence doesn't work? Do you have the brain to understand anything about sexuality? You're a bloody homosexual. If they had done what we said, Years later, they haven't found cure for AIDS. All those who had it then have died now. If you had warned everybody else, those who had it would have still have, they would still have died. And the rest of the world would have learned a lesson. But the Bible said they will say, not he. What does that mean? God will scatter Egypt. Egyptians, he says, is not God. So God will bring another plague. They will suffer some after. He says, it was a mistake, not coincidence. Death is reigning because of sin. The point is, let me, you know, my message is about Jesus Christ, not about death, really. You're setting up to it. The Bible says, as much as these things are the consequences of the actions of the people, God is not pleased. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whosoever we believe will not perish, but have everlasting life. What is everlasting life? Everlasting life is the reversal of everything that we have said. Everlasting life means that when you travel to Lagos, you get there. Death is not an accident. Everlasting life says that if it is critical for the sustenance of this, of that area, that place is set on fire, people will pass, they'll block the road, then the angels will blow it up. And they'll say nobody was injured, but needed to burn up that bush. Everlasting life means that if anybody tried to introduce AIDS, it no go work. Everlasting life means that if death was present, a spirit of life is injected, it will be as if nothing ever went wrong in that place. That's everlasting life. Because of time, all right? Because I want to talk about this curse thing again, because it's just a problem in the world today. Ignorance. I said to you earlier, death, another word you can use in this context is curse, all right? The curse kept on moving because all men sinned. From one generation to the other, they keep doing the things that bring the wrath of God upon them. They call it a generational curse, and not a lie. If you know I'm talking about Jesus Christ, right? The work of Jesus. I want people to know that those curses have been brought to an end. Let me read one scripture I quote. I close with it. Kai, my time has gone. Please, I want you to follow this. You know, I'm saying many things. I want us to, by the time we finish, you will understand what Jesus came to do. I'll read this one. You know, it was during the night I woke up. I began to study. I told my wife, yay. I said, this is not revelation. This is not understanding. If I had to quickly start writing down points from Hebrews, I got to chapter 8. I had written 14 crucial, critical, serious points. One of them, let me just point it out. Then we close. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Don't forget, one thing you must leave this place with today is, listen, death comes by sin, and faith is a fight. Adam's sin opened the door, and all kinds of tempting evil spirits entered into the earth. They taught Cain how to kill. And they are still going around. The big ones find it hard to attack people. The small ones must open doors for them first. The spirit of murder doesn't just jump, boom. It's hard. So he looks for the spirit of anger, jealousy, hatred. He allows those spirits to go ahead of him. I told you a story that once a young boy, at the age of 17, he and his boy, serious high school, he was just graduated from what they call high school. He and his friends decided to go and play. And one of them said, let's steal a car. And the events of his life, they are interesting. Let's steal a car. That small comment, this boy didn't have a criminal record. That's, let's steal a car. He died a few years later by lethal injection. Why? Because he decided to steal the car of, they just saw one car on the road at random. Just picked one car, pursued the owners. An elderly man and his wife were coming back from going to visit, from having gone to visit their children, their grandchildren. And he picked the man, dragged the man out of the car, cocked his gun, and shot him. And he told his friends, shoot, he called the woman a bad name. Shoot her! And those were like, what? We said let's just steal a car. They refused to fire. They finally caught them. The other ones went to jail for armed robbery or whatever. But he did not go to jail. They killed him for murder. I watched Christian Amanpo follow the whole case till the day they executed him and showed us his dead body. He asked the boy. The boy said, why did I do it? I don't know. Will I say it's my parents? He said, no, they are not like that.
said, my friend? He said, no, I'm the leader. It was a high school basketball team captain. He said, I'm the leader amongst them. My friends don't influence me. I influence them. So why did I do it? He said, I don't know. When he said it, whether it was the Holy Spirit or plenty of understanding, but as he was talking, what I was seeing was I was a black boy and he had a white man under his control for once in his life. So the picture painted back in my mind again. I said, oh, his father, his mother didn't realize it. They had taught him how to hate white people. They did not know. Anger is there, deep-seated. Hatred, it was there, deep-seated. And the spirit of mother was following the boy about. When they had the opportunity, he jumped inside. The boy pulled the gun, cocked it, shot somebody he did not know. What he did not realize that the man was white. That he didn't strike him. He didn't know that was why he did it. Listen, I told you earlier, that was why I was unhappy with that book when it came out. That you came out too late. Don't come and be scraping open wounds. There are people I've dressed, I've tried to heal for decades. Listen, he said, I must tell my own story. You don't have to. We have a Bible to read. That's enough. You understand what I'm saying? What am I talking about? Because that little boy, he killed. My persuasion was that he did simply because all his life, the parents did not realize, the community did not realize him, they had taught him to hate white people. And like I say to them, I say about it, that is why when God wanted to say, okay, it's time for a black man to be president, he made sure he was raised in a white family. You know one of the reasons? He was discriminated against. Yes, quite all right. He had his own problems. But the person who gave him life was white, his mother. The people who raised him, his grandparents, were both white, his mother's parents. So he grew up without anger towards a white man. He could not. He couldn't. That was the only way he could be president. Jesse Jackson, for in 1 million years, wouldn't be president. Al Sharpton, in 10 million years, would never be president. Those ones could never be president. It takes a Barack Obama, who's now using Indian hemp, obviously. But at least, when God brought Jeroboam to office, it was the will of God. Jeroboam got there, began to use Indian hemp, like Obama is doing right now, we all know. But the point is that, when God wanted to put Obama in office, he made sure he was raised by white people. He said, listen, for me to help you, strangers have to build your walls, so the way you guys are behaving. So he took him, just brought a black man from Africa, oh yeah, fertilize this egg for me. After the boy fertilized, he tossed him away. He said, if I allow you to raise him, the anger inside you, the vexation of generations will never allow him to become what he's supposed to become in life. The work of Jesus. I want people to know that those curses have been brought to an end. It was this night I was studying again, it suddenly hit me. Paul said, anyone who has believed has ceased from his own works. It's a labor to enter into the rest. Then it struck me that most of the effort in life today is trying to fight the power of death. That is, let me give you an example. Every day people come with everything. Juggling in the morning. So you go around the Aquara Square. You see everybody slim, fat, old, young, running around. Running around is not bad. Is it bad? It's not bad. It's good. But go and check it. Most of people who are doing it, they are doing it so they can live long. Have no love for running. They don't want to be fit. Like if you don't jog now, your heart will fail on you one day. What does that mean? They are laboring to overcome the power of death. There's a joke I heard recently. Have you heard of Hallelujah Diet? They say chop vegetables in the morning, fruit in the afternoon. Let only 20% of whatever it is you eat be composed of cooked food. You know, and they finish all of that. Is that me? Sorry. I don't know they do. I'm going to ask something. Why do we go through all of those things? We're trying to fight the power of death. I hope you get what I say. Save. Make sure you have 10% every year for the next 50 years. And after it's not yielding for you, that is, you don't want to be poor in old age. It's called striving to overcome the power of death. And he said, he that has believed has stopped from those strivings. Why did Jesus come? Jesus came for this purpose. If I like, let me lie down my life. If I'm not supposed to die before the age of 100, I'm not dying. Why did Jesus come?
You say, listen, long life is not in jogging. It's not the kind of food you eat. If you want to jog, jog because it is good. You like to be light. You know, you like to be light on your feet. But if you think that that will make you live long, the day after you finish jogging, removing all the fat in your body, a car will jam you, will die. Listen, the truth of the gospel, if you understood it, I told you one of two things will happen. Either you will, if somebody observes you, either thinks your head is not correct, or you are walking by faith. The two of them, they look alike.